Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us in studio. That's nice.
Yeah, hi everybody. Yeah, my new employee, Lexi, was had on a playlist, and that wasn't on it, but another thing that he was doing, I was like, huh, yeah, I could get behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was great. It's see, that's why you got to bring the fresh blood into the store every now and then.
Yes,
to change up the playlist, if nothing else. But yes, for everybody who's wandered into the store, welcome Lexi. She's our new employee, and she's awesome. And has, you know, one of her prior jobs, not to tell too much out of was the she told people she worked for the TSA, I guess, and got to tell people that their flights were canceled. I was like, if you can handle that,
right? Then reminding people to put a mask on,
you can do this.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. Yeah. Oh, we don't have the Chardonnay you want. That's we're going to handle this.
Yeah.
Together. Yeah,
nice.
That's
nice.
Right. That's like that. Right. So yeah, good times, and yeah, and things are good. Hopefully, with everybody out there who's getting their kids. Rich and I were just chatting off air about you know, the new shuffle. Like every parent goes through it. You know, the new school year shuffle of Wait a minute. What day is it? And who's it? And then they start in the middle of the week. That's just mean.
Oh, yeah.
That was mean. Like, right. That was hard to handle. And then, of course, you have Labor Day. So you're like, are we off again?
Yeah.
This is great. School year over. I can just we go back to the summer schedule.
Oh, man. Already I miss it.
Oh, it's too bad. No, it's still here. But yeah, hopefully everybody's doing awesome. And we've also started, of course, the time of year when, even on beautiful Saturdays and Sundays, I'm inside staring at a screen, and I lose my power to tell my children, please stop staring at screens. It's the ultimate hypocrisy. Although I try to tell them I'm not watching a screen, I'm watching football, and once football season is over, I'll go back to being the same curmudgeonly guy, just staring less at a screen.
Right.
Cool. So, yeah, we're in September. We're doing California, hence the beautiful cover that we led into. I started in a little bit on it last week. We'll this week we're going to kind of go into its origins, things like that. So to remind everybody, and this is who was I? Christopher Hitchens, the famed whatever one would call him, raconteur, historian, blatherer, was relating the stories of the founding fathers, and he mentioned Thomas Jefferson and their how he wasn't good at anything, including growing grapes. And I'd like to remind Mr. Hitchens and all of you out there that the reason he wasn't any good at growing grapes in Virginia is because we had the phylloxera louse on the northeast and mid-Atlantic coasts. And that is why Thomas Jefferson and anybody else not named Thomas Jefferson who tried to grow grapes that were Vitis vinifera, that is the strain of grapes that we all like to drink, right? Your Cabs, your Merlots, your Shards, etc. They brought clippings over from Europe, and they all died. And they didn't know why, because we didn't have the sort of technology to see these little creatures. But as everybody who listens to this show knows, once we kindly sent the louse over to the vineyards of Europe, and it decimated 99% of them, we all figured out that the rootstock of North American grapes grafted on with Vitis vinifera on top was resistant to the phylloxera louse, and therefore we saved European viticulture. You're welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. So there. It's the least we could do.
It's the least we could do since we killed it. That's what happened on the East Coast. So that's why there was no viticulture there. It's not because there was lack of effort. There was. The first efforts that also happened in the Americas happened on the other side of the Americas, right? So in California and all the way down into, obviously, you know, modern-day Mexico. There was not originally phylloxera in California, right? So the vinifera that they tried to plant there took hold. And the first attempts to plant there were in the 16th century. Spanish settlers in Baja California, as I just mentioned. I'm sure that shocks a lot of you who are familiar with the West Coast, that it was Spanish settlers. 1769 was the first vineyard established in modern-day California. That was in San Diego at the Mission there. which was founded by the Franciscan brothers. So once again, we have the religious orders coming in and basically bringing with them, strictly for sacramental reasons, folks, booze, you know. It follows a long and glorious tradition. And frankly, I think anybody who has enjoyed the fruits of their labors appreciates it. I do. It was originally a grape called the Mission grape that they were planting over there. A hardier grape, a little thicker skinned, a little more rugged. You can still find wines made out of the Mission grape or its modern day equivalent, because of course grapes do mutate, but you know, as pure as you can, they do have some examples out there. I've never seen one in Maine, but you never know. I mean, we're getting all sorts of new wines and interesting wines. Of course, for instance, the wines made out of pais from South America that we'll talk about next month, etc. If you happen to be over there and maybe you're on a viticulture trip, maybe you're just on, you know, having fun and whatever, and you wander into a winery that may have some Mission grape planted, try it out. See what you think. I mean, it's, you know, it's a piece of history, even if you decide to go home with a different bottling that they may happen to make. Excuse me. As I said, phylloxera, not there. The vinifera took hold well, and the new varieties were being brought really all the time by new immigrants. Of course, you had the gold rush. You had a whole bunch of reasons why people were going out west. I mean, obviously, it was the great westward expansion. And along with the religious orders, pretty much everybody else also traveled with the means to make booze. I don't want to labor on this too much, but the fact of the matter remains that a lot of the important settlements that we have in the Americas took hold because of one ingredient or two ingredients or three ingredients that were really important in getting people lambasted. Just where it is.
Ain't that America?
Ain't that America? You and me. So you had grapes showing up like Zinfandel, right? Of course. And we've talked about Zinfandel. It was originally a wine, a grape from Croatia. And then it got brought all over the place. It got brought down to the boot of Italy, where it's known as Primitivo. And out in California, some immigrant, or probably several immigrants, brought it again because it's a hardier grape, right? It likes warmer temperatures. Obviously, if it's, you know, down in either in the Mediterranean or on the west coast of the Americas, so it worked well. And obviously, it gets to be a fairly robust ripe variety, and therefore high in alcohol. Yay!
Mm.
Other things that showed up also Mataro, which we know as Mourvèdre. Or Monastrell in Spain. Again, thicker skinned grape. You're noticing a trend here. Now, what you're not noticing is some things that California is more famed for today, like Pinot Noir, Chardonnay. But of course, these are grapes that do tend to like cooler weather. They required a little bit more effort on people's parts to find places that were cooler. But I imagine if you're basically trying to make a subsistence living, you're not really looking for that. You're looking for places where you can grow everything you need to grow conveniently. Liquor, of course, being important, but not as important as also, say, roughage and other such things. So you had to find places where you could grow hardier grapes and all your other goodies. And then, of course, once, you know, we started to diversify, etc. Of course, that's when you could start to specialize. Late 1800s, the phylloxera louse did indeed arrive in California. And then Prohibition just beat the Hades out of the industry in general. And that is when a lot of wineries turned back to their roots and said, we're not making anything to get people drunk. We're making it because it's the sacrament of the Lord. And that worked. That worked for a lot of people. Christian Brothers. Anybody know Christian Brothers? Freemark, yeah. Abbey. All those. Oh, you betcha. We're going to stick around and stick in business by making brandies and wines that we're going to sell to the church. And then when all this nonsense goes away, we'll be in a good position to take hold. And indeed they did, which is what we're going to sort of talk about next time. sort of the reemergence of California on the scene. And at some point, as I've been mentioning, Bruce Pratt will join me, and we'll talk about one of the important immigrants who kind of came on the scene after what started to happen next. So we had World War One, as well as the Bolshevik Revolution happening prior to that, and sort of in concurrently, you had Prohibition, you had the Dust Bowl, you had just really bad times in a lot of places. And there was a lot of immigration here, and it brought with it a wave of people, including the guy that we're going to talk about with Bruce, Andrei Chelichev, who worked for Bolia Vineyards for years and years, made them famous, and then became an advisor to many of the winemakers that we celebrate in the pages of Spectator, etc. today. So that'll be good. Hopefully, we'll get that all done soon. Bruce is briefing me on how we handle the whole book sharing and then talking to people thing. It's probably not that complicated, but I'm a simple man. So, but we'll work on that. But as I said, next week, we'll start to talk a little bit about sort of the reemergence of California onto the scene after the, tumultuous events of the earlier part of the 20th century. In the meantime, everybody get the jab, convince other people, please, and take care of your children. Make sure they're all going to school masked and taking care of each other. What more can I say? I will look forward to joining you all here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
That sounds fabulous. We'll Excellent. Look forward to it.
Cheers.
Have a peaceful week.
I will. Oh, I forgot. We're drinking Honig Sauvignon Blanc right now from the Napa Valley. You should all check it out. It's delicious, and we're all smiling because of it.
Yes, it's wonderful. Thanks, Eric. See you next Tuesday. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every week on the program.